Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Hello, hello, hello. This is the second episode of the Human Technology Podcast on the CES 2025. The last episode 2 weeks ago focused on trans technologies, HMI, human machine interface innovation. Today, I plan to focus a bit more on strategic issues and things on the strategic side that I've seen, felt, discussed with my professional peers at Las Vegas. Now, three things I'd like to talk about. The first one is DIAs instead of Ks. So Ks, the old paradigm, the old mantra of the automotive industry describing innovation and trend. From my point of view, it's dead, and we can replace it with a DS. The second one is a bit painful for us in the Western automotive industry and also the Japanese automotive industry. That is on the situation of the automotive industry in general. And the third one will be three questions that I brought home from Vegas. So let's start with the first one. DIAs is replacing CASE. So CASE was invented by Mercedes about 12, 15 years ago. And BMW used the acronym ACES, same letters, different order. So let's stick with CASE. That was the one that was used over the years. And for my surprise, it had been comparably stable. It was very stable over the years. And it didn't change those things. The C stands for connected, the A for automated, the S for shared, and the E for electric. And that was very stable over the years. It didn't change. But about last year at the CES, I realized maybe we need something new. Why? Connected is a reality in cars. There is no new car that is not in some way connected. We have the emergency SIMs in there. We have the connectivity, Bluetooth connectivity for smartphones, for mobile phones, and that's connected. We need to think about services, what makes sense, what not, how can we create value with the connectivity. But the technical part of it, from our point of view, is solved. Cars are connected, and we have to expand this, find the use cases. So the C is not valid anymore. The A for automated is the only one that's survived. I will tell you why in a few minutes. Shared, the S for shared, has never really taken off. That is something that, in theory, it works very well. In theory, and in all future visions of future cities, there is no private car ownership anymore. It is public cars, there is a pool of cars, you share them, and theoretically it makes absolutely sense. If you look out your window, if I look out of my window here, I can see cars parking there. They're just standing around, they're sitting in public spaces, and they eat them up, and About 90-95% of all time, they are not used. So it makes, in theory, sense to share cars in daily life. It just isn't realized that way. If people want to have shared transportation, they use public transportation or maybe a taxi or a Uber or a Lyft. But the majority of people wants to have his or her own car. So we will have private car ownership for quite some time. Plus the fact that most of the companies that started it either gave up, merged, limited their services. There's one company in Germany that makes a little profit after years of losses. So at the moment, this is not a real business case. And electric, that's pretty much the opposite. It's like connected. It is there. It's a political wish. The official politics is that we shall drive electric. No car company without electric vehicles in the portfolio. All the new startups, they use electric drivetrains. The Chinese companies, they have made great advancements in electric mobility. So this is not really a future trend. It's not really a trend. It is something that we are working on. And although we have a little dip in sales of electric cars in Europe, particularly in Germany. But again, that's more a political thing and less a, let's say, technological issue. So case is that, and we replace this with DS. Now, what DIAS, what do these letters stand for? The D stands for diverse. Mobility will be more diverse. We'll have more different options to be mobile, and we'll have more different vehicles to be mobile. And on the CES, there was a separate hall or a part of the North Hall, not the Automotive West Hall, which contains all the OEMs and suppliers, all the big companies working there, most of them. And there's a separate area in the North Hall, a different hall for micromobility. Electric drivetrains make it comparably easy for new companies to realize new vehicle concepts, because this drivetrain is not as complex as a combustion drivetrain, easier to handle, easier to develop, easier to test, easier to implement. And then suddenly people come up and they bring in new vehicles, they show new concepts, and that was very well visible at the CES. So we will have more different devices, scooters to sit on, scooters to stand on. Those are the things. I talked about the Verge Donut, which is a donut-shaped electric engine presented by the Verge. All this is happening at the moment, so we will have a larger diversity, down to the fact that they sell electric suitcases on board, carry-on suitcases where you can sit on and you can drive around through an aircraft airport terminal to your aircraft sitting on your suitcase. Well, this is also mobility, so we have this larger diversity. The I stands for intelligent. Artificial intelligence is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's already in any part, every part of our lives. The in automotive as well. So it is in market analysis. It's in marketing. It is in development. It's in production. And it's also in vehicles. So intelligent is undoubtedly then the number one issue, the number one topic on the CES. And yeah, this is also true for automotive. The A still stands as autonomous or automated. To my surprise, the autonomy of vehicles is progressing faster than I had expected a few years ago. I thought that this will take a couple of years to get it to the road, but Zoox showed their new vehicle, which looked exactly like Astra's vehicle, but I talked to a representative of Zoox, and he said, yes, they didn't do much on the design, but they changed the software in this. And yeah, that will be on the road in San Francisco, in Las Vegas pretty soon. So at the end of the day, yes, we will have this. Plus the fact that, the question on autonomous vehicles always is, who really needs this? Who really needs that? As a private driver, you need driver assistant, you need automated driving. The A also stands for automated. There we will see progression in level 2 automation and level 3 automation. So where the driver is somehow involved. Fully autonomous vehicles make sense when you can replace a professional driver, like in taxis, in public transport, in cargo transport, in trucks. We have a shortage of drivers worldwide, globally. It's a global problem that people don't want to drive on roads and don't want to drive cars on trucks on roads. And we see various projects in the south of the United States. There is a project with an autonomous truck between, I think, Arizona and Kentucky. There you can replace a driver. That makes sense. But putting something like 20,000 euros, dollars, pounds of electronics into your car just to have being driven around, let a machine do the job you can do yourself, doesn't make too much sense in private context. But in professional context, it makes sense. And the S in DiaS stands for software defined. At CES, particularly the AFILA, the cooperation between Sony and Honda, was shown, and it seems like they bring it to the market. It was the third or fourth time they showed one of these cars, and every year the prototypes made a little more progress, and it seems like they are short before entering the market with this. And this is a typical example of a software-defined car. A car company, in this case Honda, makes what the car company is best in. The drivetrain, the tires, the suspension, the aerodynamics, the crash safety. All this is done by the traditional car company. And the software then is produced by a software company, by a professional software company. In this case, it's Sony. They create the interior, the experience, the user experience, the functionality, the connectivity, the integration into digital ecosystems. All this is done by a software company. Because car companies are not very good in writing software and doing this. So the drama around CARIAD, the Volkswagen company and a software company, shows that clearly, and Volkswagen ended up in acquiring parts of Rivian, a more software-oriented car company, so that Rivian can do exactly what CARIAD was supposed to do, but was not able to do this. So at the end of the day, software-defined vehicles separating the hardware, and then which is done by the car companies, and then the software is done by software companies. Whatever kind of relationship these two companies may have, whether one is part of the other, or whether they are cooperating, whether the car company is searching for different software providers for different models and brands. Yeah, so Volkswagen as a company could use the VW, the Volkswagen brand, one software supplier for Audi, another for Porsche, a third one. All this could be then possible and give flexibility. At the end, we may end up with the situation we have in the smartphone market. If you remember 20 years ago, we had a huge variety of mobile phones, yeah, in the pre-smartphone area. So it was, after you looked at the phone and you clearly knew, right, this must be a Sony Ericsson, this must be a Nokia, this must be a Motorola. Today, sometimes you cannot even say at first sight, is this an Apple or is it an Android system? And if you see it's an Android system, you cannot really see, is this a Samsung, an LG, or a Huawei handy you're looking at, a smartphone you're looking at. And this may be similar in the car industry, that you have more or less standardized parts. And the personalization, the brand differentiation, that is done by software. So software defined definitely is one of the major trends we see in automotive future. Let's move on to number two. As I said, pretty painful for many of us, for most of us, the situation of the automotive industry. The year 2025 and following years will be a transformative phase, transformative time for the automotive industry. I talked to almost everyone at CES. I talked to, hey, how do you see the situation in the car industry? What are the challenges? And the result is pretty clear. The automotive industry in Europe and the US, nobody talked about Japan, but I think Japan is similar. We are in a deep, deep crisis. The business slows down. We have the wrong products. Rumors say that Mercedes has not sold a single EQE or EQS in 2024 in China. I don't know whether this is true. These are rumors I have heard, but I can't believe it. These are the wrong cars. It's not what the Chinese user wants to have. We still apply enormously complex processes, development processes that slow down development and make it very inefficient. We stick sometimes to old paradigms in vehicle development, and they have been very good over years, and cars are comparably safe devices, they're comparably reliable devices. All this is true, and all this is based on these processes that we have applied. Fact is, China is much faster. They have the China speed, and this is beating the Western automotive industry. The budgets of the companies, both OEMs and suppliers, are strictly limited in investments into innovation and into external support are cut down to a minimum, which is comparably painful for people like me. I rely on OEMs and suppliers having questions, and I can answer these. So in all, the innovative power of European and US American automotive companies is slowing down. Chinese OEMs have made enormous progress in electric mobility. They are undoubtedly supported by the Chinese government. They have clear regulation, they have financial support, and so they can offer very attractive cars price-wise. So for comparably low money, you can get a very nice car that meets the expectations and the taste of large buyer groups. The Chinese are not as brand connected as others maybe in the US and Europe. And so they say, oh, it's a Chinese car, it's very good, so I can use it and I can pay it. They have aggressive marketing strategies, and the electric vehicle market is heavily under pressure with all these cars coming out of China. Another problem are the global supply chains. They remain volatile. The shortages in critical components like, chips cause problems in the production. Well, and then we have the additional fees that you have to pay if you want to import something to the US. Trump's just raised them between 10% and 60%. You put on then. And so particularly the suppliers have to rethink their production strategies, plus the fact that everything may change in a very short time frame. So we live in these super volatile times. The economic problems with inflation and high interests has reduced the willingness of users to buy cars, to make investments in general. I just talked to a real estate manager out of my network, and then he said it's unbelievable. Yeah? Nobody makes a decision because nobody has the money, or nobody wants to spend the money if he or she has it. That's a big problem. That's the same in the car industry. And yeah, this is why we have these problems. We have technological problems. The traditional OEMs face the challenge to manage the transition towards sustainable mobility, connected mobility, electric mobility. At the moment, they're still making quite a lot of money with combustion engines, combustion engine drivetrains. And this morning, right, this morning on the news and the radio, they said that Porsche will stick longer to combustion engine drivetrains because they can make money with this. And yeah. And the younger generation, younger people, midterm, long-term prefers shared and networked mobility solutions. It's not so much the car itself that is in focus, but it's more like a convenient, easy, fast to use mobility solution with a positive user experience. Even within China, we can see changes. So we had something, like 300 different car companies in China. So at the moment, we are around between 50, 60, 70 companies. Probably we will end up with something between 10 and 15 car companies in China. Nobody knows which of the existing companies will survive and which ones will die. So you don't know who shall be a cooperation partner, who can I look for as a client. So we don't know this. There's a lot of change, a lot of transition going on in the Chinese automotive industry as well. And that will take about 5 to 10 years, and then we will see who will remain, who the survivors in the Chinese market, which brands will do it over the time. All right, so the automotive industry, to summarize that one, in Europe and the US, we have a multiple crisis. It's a multi-layer crisis. We have the global competition will be more intense in the future. We will face new regulatory activities of different governments. And yeah, the user behavior, the user expectations, that will also change rapidly. So we have to face this challenge to remain in the market. It sounds pretty negative, but in the three questions, how I will talk about in the next part of this podcast episode, I will give a couple of hints how we can save the US and the European automotive industry. So we are moving on to part number three of this episode, three questions I brought home from Las Vegas. And the first one is the one directly connected to the crisis of the automotive industry. How can we save the automotive industry in Europe and the US? How can we get it back on track? One thing is clear. Without a deep, serious change in culture, in processes, in mindsets, we won't make it. Chinese, particularly Chinese, but also other Asian competitors are far more agile, are faster, are more focused, take more risks, and are successful with this. We will not only need new technologies, but a complete rethinking of all processes, of priorities, and of all mindsets. Then we can make it with the higher speed that we see, the higher adaptivity, agility, and with a higher innovation speed. So there are five things that I see as essential. The first one is we need to define the idea of software-defined vehicles. I already talked about this a couple of minutes ago. We need to decouple hardware and software components in a car. You need to see the car like a smartphone. And then you can put different kinds of software on top of that. And then we can develop these functions independently from each other. And we can have different companies working on this one. So car companies are extremely good in traditional car developments, and software companies are far better in developing software. So every company, everyone can do what he or she is best in and put this into a car. And then we can have real-time data processing. We can have artificial intelligence supported ADAS systems, advanced driver assistance systems. We can move on with automated driving, connectivity, apps, flexibility. This is pretty much what users expect in the future. And maybe we can even go on to open architecture and open source solutions that is coming up in parts. I'm not 100% convinced that this is the one and only solution we can go to. There are problems with open architectures and open source, but we can speed up innovation with this. Second point, connectivity and connectivity creating user experience. We need to have connectivity in every car, 5G, vehicle-to-vehicle, vehicle-to-everything communication. We need standards for vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-everything communication. We need to create a seamless user experience. With connectivity, we can get real-time updates, we can get predictive maintenance, we can get personalized services, we can integrate cars into our digital ecosystems. So my smartphone, my smart home, my office laptop, and my car are integrated into a digital ecosystem, and I have a seamless user experience over all the different platforms. Number three on how to save the automotive industry. We need to invest in new HMI solutions and new user experiences. The complexity of cars is growing constantly, and in the next 5 to 10 years at least, private cars will be on like level 3 maximum, probably on level 2 or level 2 plus, however it is called. This means that the driver is required to either be in the control loop all the time on level 2 or be ready to take over in a short time frame as on level 3. So the driver still plays an important role. So the idea of taking over the smartphone paradigms on a one-to-one basis into cars is not a good idea. This is not what is safe. This is not creating usability, and this is not creating the right user experience. So we have to minimize driver distraction and at the same time show all relevant information and all relevant interaction means like buttons and switches and so on. We believe that we have a deep understanding of user behavior and ergonomics and usability and user experience, which in parts is right, but there is room for improvement. We need to move on. We need to put human abilities, dreams, wishes into the focus of technology development to create real value with technology and to make this one a better product. Number four, improving strategic partnerships and cooperations. The cooperation between an automotive company and a software company is required to get the best benefit out of the software-defined vehicle. The software development, digital services, that is something that is done by specific companies in a very good way. And one example is the partnership between Volkswagen and Rivian to improve the software competence. And this is, for me, an indicator of a trend that we see over the entire automotive industry to integrate technology innovation into cars. It will not be, we had this traditional, let's say, network or integration tree of in the automotive industry. There was the OEM creating the car. Then there was first-tier suppliers supplying their components directly to the production place of the car maker. And then we had second tiers supplying to the first tiers and third tiers supplying to the... And this static cooperation model is not valid anymore. We need something more dynamic, more agile, which is more a cooperation, particularly between software companies and car makers. And number five, finally, is we have to raise the speed of development. There are good reasons why the automotive industry is a comparably small industry. Yeah? I talked about this, reliability, availability of the devices, safety. And there are good reasons for this. The quality is comparably high in cars. So the fact is other car companies, particularly in China or in Asia, they are much faster. They need just half of the time, maybe a third of the time than compared to a European or US American company to develop a car. So we need to refocus the processes. The decision making needs to be faster and more focused. We need to be ready to take certain risks. I mean, if you wait and wait and wait and then make a decision, if everything is clear, it is probably too late to make this decision. But this is happening in the car industry also, that we stick to old processes, to old paradigms on how to develop a car. Not what we need, not what we should do. We need to improve the speed in car development. Question is, will this be enough? Will this be sufficient? And even more important, will we be fast enough with this one? The reality is hard. The Chinese OEMs move with a speed that many established car makers in the US and Europe cannot meet. The ability of the Chinese to realize innovation, not to create innovation, but to realize innovation, to put it into the market on a large scale, is impressive. All right, so the second question, I talked about that we have three questions. The first question was, how can we save the automotive industry? I mentioned 5 points here. Second question, where is the innovative power in the automotive industry? In past years, was always the fact that when I came home from Vegas, I had an idea who is in front of the innovation race. Who is pushing it? OEMs or suppliers? Who is the one in front? And usually on an annual basis that flipped. One year the OEMs seemed to be ahead. Next year the suppliers seemed to be ahead. And then a year later, again the OEMs and the suppliers. So that went, and this is not the only, this is not covering the complete impression I'm having. So there is a third power in this, and those are the technology providers. Companies that provide software, services, specific hardware and electronics. And so we have this three-party race now. And so we will have the OEMs, the suppliers, and the technology companies, the software companies. And I have no idea how this race will be done. Who will do this? So this is really an open question that I cannot answer. I don't know where I would put my eggs and which basket I would put my eggs. So will be good to see, or will be, interesting to see Who is in front in the next years? Is there again such a dynamic development, or will we see one of the three parties, OEMs, suppliers, and technology providers, will one be in the lead over many years? I have no idea, and maybe I can answer this in a year from now. And the third one, of course, is where do automotive HMIs go to? We see three big trends in automotive HMIs. It's the humane, human-machine interaction. This is the natural user interface. We see more and more things like head-up displays, like haptic feedbacks, that we get a deep immersion of users into the interaction. And the human-to-human interaction is very natural, very straight, something we do since 70,000 years. It's all involved in there. And we shall move forward into this direction, and we are moving forward into this direction. So we have this humane interaction. The second one is liquid HMIs, so flexible interactions. First of all, it's the location of interaction that is switching. So we have different locations within a vehicle. We have different interaction channels within a vehicle. But we even move on to different devices. So we can control our cars from our smartphones, at least parts of it. Yeah? And then in the future, we will control our homes from our cars. So that the location of a screen is not important anymore, so it's not necessarily connected to the functionality it controls. And the third one is the integration of augmented reality. I have seen holographic head-up display foils from Ceres. Super interesting technology, very well done with the right projectors. You have a comparably small setup, and then you can use large parts of the windscreen to get a real augmented reality impression. Also, augmented reality glasses are on their way. In the gaming area of the CES, there were a couple of companies showing them, but it's also Meta is preparing the introduction of their augmented reality glasses. So we can use this one to improve the automotive HMI. We have dynamic HMIs. We have specific use cases. We can reflect individual needs or preferences. We can reflect contexts, driving situations, use cases. And then we will see artificial intelligence and machine learning also getting into HMIs. I talked about the Kali project in the past, which was finalized in last September. At the moment, we are discussing the follow-up project. It will take a few more months until we have a final decision if we do it or not, if we get it funded or not. But that is still a big thing to have this one. On the other hand, the question is, what role will play Apple CarPlay and Android Auto? It is not, from a usability, user experience, safety point of view, not the best possible solution, but it is almost ubiquitous. You can integrate it everywhere. In almost any car, you will find this. And the question here is, will we stick with there? If we do that, if we stay on the Apple CarPlay and Android Auto level, then automotive HMIs are dead. Then everything will be smartphone driven, and the smartphone companies, Alphabet and Apple, they will control the automotive HMIs. Question is, do we want this or not? All right, so that's it for today. Little summary. I talked about my impressions from the CES from a more strategic level. DIAS, diverse intelligence, automated and software defined, is the new paradigm. Case is that. We have this super tough situation in the automotive industry. I see five points we need to realize to get out of this: software-defined vehicles, getting this thing done, creating connectivity, creating new user experiences, new user interface paradigms, creating strategic partnerships, and speed up. And I talked about the future of automotive HMIs. If we stick with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, the entire thing is dead. Then we will have this smartphone HMI in cars. Or do we want a automotive-specific adapted to traffic, to driving tasks, a respective solution? That's it for today. If you like this podcast, do me the favor and recommend it to other people in your network. I just heard from a company rating the quality of podcasts that the Human Technology Podcast is on number 22 on all technology podcasts. And this was a big surprise to me. There are thousands, hundreds and thousands of technology podcasts available. And I'm almost in the top 20 with what I do. And this is what I like to continue. I like to move on this one. I like to get more attention with this one. And the best way you can do it is listen to this podcast, recommend it to others, pull others into our community and let them know, hey, there is something going on and this is really cool. Take the chance and listen to it. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email under podcast@beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.